BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
Well, coming to Jackson State in 1992 was really,
Hold on. Doc, so we had Dr. Carl Cunningham on here, and I'm going to make this brief that you said that because it hit me. Carl talked about, from his perspective, when Dr. Louis Liddell came to Jackson State. And he expressed to us that it was a lot of confusion. You know, it wasn't the easiest transition. But you came in 92, and you took care of business. And when people were able to transition into the Dr. Louis program, and what you had in mind and what you were bringing to the table, then a few of them were not accepting of you. But there were a small few that were accepting of you. So when you said that, I thought about that. I think that's what you were talking about, because I feel like that's what you were going.
We have a paradigm shift.
Yeah, come on.
He said it.
Paradigm shift. I was waiting on that word.
The program in my mind wasn't very musical. There were a lot of kids in the band that couldn't play. A lot of them were even enrolled in school. These are bad things to say, but it was true. And I remember the last football show, we only had 127 folks in the band, because we had to put one guy out for halftime being drunk.
We had to
clean up some things. And they brought me in there for that. They knew what they were doing. And I didn't know nothing about Jackson. I've been out of band almost 8 years when I came to Jackson State. I was a college administrator. And my wife's still mad at me. We're coming to Jackson State.
We both were working
at A&T.
She cooked some good chicken tonight.
Doc.
For you. So she good.
She
understands.
Yeah.
Understand.
Yeah. What happened, man? No. I didn't know nothing about it. I forgot marching band out of my system.
So look, Doc.
And I was assistant president of Murray State.
Okay.
Assistant president went on state of Minnesota. And this time I was assistant dean. North Carolina A&T.
So how did you
college arts and sciences?
How did you take time off from being band director? I never knew that you didn't. You went. You said 8 years. You weren't doing band at all.
No, I also did. I was band director at Kentucky. Well, tell something else. 2 years. This might sound like a bragging, but it's true.
Come on with
my
it.
My high school band were better than most black bands that I saw.
I believe it.
Honest truth, that was embarrassed to say that. Provine High School band. I came in at 76. We had 30 some folks in the band. Then by school gun, we had about 70. Provine band, it was core style. I went into core style. And my attitude was, when I got back from my doctorate, they sent me to Provine. And I worked on my dissertation. And I told my buddies, the first thing I'm going to do is give them Confederate uniforms. Give it them flags and rifles, and we're going to get down with it. So when I got to band practice, there was nobody there for 2 weeks during the summer. Then all of a sudden, I came to band, heard all that noise in the gym. What's going on in there? They had about 40 girls throwing rifles and flags up in the air. Are they going to get rid of me? So I went and studied core style. And those girls had been on camp. That was the most changing thing in my experience about band. Core style approached band better than that jazz time stuff. And I had to learn core. I learned core style. I went to drum and bugle corps camps, all that stuff. And this is something I'm going to say. Can't no band in Jackson say this. Provine, the only band in Jackson, ever won a bona fide national championship. Wow. Provine won a national championship in 1982 Mid-America Championship, St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow.
I remember that experience. When they also won a championship in 62. That was in Oklahoma. And all they talk about when I got there, all the first black band director talk about that experience. But we went to St. Louis. And we only had two white kids in the band. And a white tuba player, a white twirler. We had no dancing girls. We had 24 flags. We had, I think, six rifles, two drum majors. We only had, I think, 13 percussion. I mean the word percussion with a capital P. We had three snares. We had three tune bass drums, pitch. We had tune cymbals. We had four of them, pitch cymbals, different side. We had bell. We had a xylophone, marimba. And we had, what did we have to think? We had a timbale. And then we had a tritone. That's for that thing. And there was something else. That percussion section, something else. And we also won first place in top percussion section there. And we were in, we got there, we did concert too. I told the kids we couldn't go, we can do a concert. Now, concert we did where we got a two, and we're glad to get that two. But in marching, a different ball game. And we got to go to field, they call a Color City High. All kind of racial remarks.
What?
I knew that was
Yeah.
What
field?
Color City High.
That was fans saying that jump. And I remember the band froze up. And our brother, all of the 10th grade kids froze up. That one boy in the band was sort of thuggish. He played first trumpet. They blowed up MFs away. And he started cussing. I got out the way. He fired the band up. And the band went on the football field. And I remember that first interest, I had been the fanfare. They would play a tune called La Puente de los Tontos. And you could hear nothing. But then that boy hit that trumpet solo, went all with Tissimo L, and gliss from low G all with the Tissimo G. Your crowd went crazy. Then we played Tiger San Pedro.
You played Tiger San Pedro.
Yeah, we played that. You know,
we played it's called Ice Castles. And it was a nice closer. And you notice here, judges were in the stands, some of them crying.
Wow.
They were. That Provine band played their butts off. I never had that more distant band I ever had. Then the next band came on, had 300 members. We only had 80 some instruments.
What?
And so we had 100 some of them played. And then we was in class, that band was in 4A, we was in 2A. But when they add the scores up, Provine won first place. It was good to me. But that's another story. But I learned a lot doing that. I learned a lot about band. And as much as I find out, even being in Jack State, them kids who come from course to our band play better. I'm sorry.
I came from a core style, you know.
I know you did. You know, Terrell came out that caliber. They were core style too. They did a little bit of other stuff. Kinda, Mr. Mitchell was really kind of a band director.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
What if I had my brothers? High school need to do core style band. Now college is a different ball game.
Yeah, that's different.
We got the band has a different role in college. A larger band does than in a high school.
Yeah.
But that's just some things. But that was a real beautiful experience I had there. Another music instrumental educator.
Okay.
You have to really teach pedagogy and stuff like that. Back then, I'm getting off key.
Teaching guy.
I want to go back in 1994. I made a decision to get rid of all of the thugs out of the band.
All of the thugs. What? Yeah, you got rid of the thugs?
Right, let's talk about this.
What year? 94.
Man,
but
you brought me
1994.
Back.
He said 94.
We cut the band
down. How did you know they were thugs? How you know they were thugs?
We cut the band down to less than 60 people.
What?
That's less than 60 upperclassmen.
But Doc, somebody gave you the power to do that.
What's that, man?
Somebody gave you the power to do that. Somebody's like, hey, yeah, go
direct our bands.
Yeah.
That's it.
Look, I brought in 154 freshmen.
You did.
And the upperclassmen were really nervous. Those 60 were left. So they were wondering, how are we going to have a band? This crazy man and got everybody. And when the upper clapper played, them doggone freshmen cut loose of them jokers. They knew what happened. Upper clapper gave them applauded them. They were so happy. And if we do what they said, we're going to have a good band.
Yeah.
That was a power move, Doc.
What happened?
It was a power
move. Another thing I did, I said, be on the football team. You had to have 2.0. We got people in the band got a .25. People in the band didn't have any grades. So I said, if the football team can make a 2.0, God damn it, the band gonna have to do it too. So yes. I said, everybody who have a 2.0, I'll put you out the band.
I love it.
So I put them out. Then what I had to do, we didn't have nobody hardly. So what I had to do, I had to call some folks back. I say, okay, if you have 1.8, we'll put you on probation, bring you back. That guy's a 60. But nothing those 154 people brought. They brought academics.
Yeah.
They brought good ACT tests for school.
Yeah.
They were passing their courses. They had a different attitude about band. They were good musicians and good students. And this is a qualification I have. First of all, you got to be a good person.
Yep.
You got to be a good person.
That's right, Doc.
Be a good student and be a good bandsman. Doc, and you got to put in that order. Good Doc. Person, good student, then good bandsman. And you get that Doc. Together, you got something going. But we had a lot of cleaning up to do.
Doc, 98, like but, when we came in there, like it felt like it was a good program. Like it felt good. You know, like we came in, like we didn't know that it was a good program, but we like we had to fit in where we fit in. But like looking back at it as a 43, 44, 45 year old human being, like you had created an environment of safety for musicians to be musicians and play and be accepted and to have a good product. Like we commend you for that, man. You did that.
And I also wanted you to graduate.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah. Been in
bottom line, graduate.
Been in the band in 4 or 5 years till I played in the boom, they don't nothing.
Bottom line,
you gotta graduate from school. Coming to band, it's fine, but you need to don't do focus. You need to finish college.
Yep.
And that's what I emphasize too.
You told my mom that on graduation day. He graduated. You said he graduated.
That's right. Look, another thing too that happened. I'm gonna pat myself on the shoulder and back.
Yeah,
we developed a lot of good, solid band directors.
Oh,
yeah. I wanted to ask you about that, Doc. I wanted to ask you about
a lot of 98. A lot but of them 98.
We ain't talking about not. Let's think back to. He taught Dial Taylor.
He taught Dial Taylor in high school. That's a different story. Yeah. I taught Dial Taylor. He was in, I think, 11th grade. He was at Brinkley. Brinkley was a very, very good school. They had about 150, 160 people in the marching band. That one hell of a hellacious win on summer. Like, for example, I'm going to get the woodwinds. They had one English horn, three oboes. They had three bassoons. They had eight French horns across that row. That's to tell you, that's simple on the band. And we ain't had an English horn since. But anyway, that happened at the peak of integration. That was my fourth year teaching school. My fourth year teaching. And I was a graduate of Brinkley. And what happened was, Yeah, that's the person, not Preston. That's at the Board of Education for Pizza, Kansas. Brown Board of Education had to integrate the school in 1954. Well, the schools in the South did under that. Mississippi say they do what they want to do. But the court ruled in 1969 that you had to integrate the schools or else. They told them all schools in Mississippi had to close. When you open back up, it had to be integrated. So what happened was they made Brinkley a 11th, 12th grade school. And not yet. It was still high school. I forgot the numbers. Anyway, I forgot it. But anyway, they fired the Vanderbilt before I got there. He's a young boy. Brinkley had a legendary band with a guy named Joseph Jennings. He's a jazz musician in Atlanta. Plays clarinet and sax. He retired now. He's older than me. He was from Southern Dynamic. Southern used to be a different band, which y'all see now. Southern used to be something else. They had a hell of a damn woodwind section. Hell of a damn program, concert program. They're not the same Southern you see now. Anyway, Joseph Jennings was a legend. And he retired. They had another Southern guy right out of college. They fired him for moral stuff. Mm-hmm. And so my brother was going to Central High School, the white school. Central High School was white. But they sent him back to Brinkley. Then what happened? That's how I got old Dow Taylor. My brother told me the band director, he's the band director. And I was working in Monroe, Louisiana, elementary school. And I had been a high school man. I left a high school job, end of elementary. So I came to Brinkley. That was in like March. Talked to the principal. When I came back, he told me to come back. April the 13th, on my first day, 1970, first day at Brinkley. And the kid was acting a damn fool.
Oh, man.
Dad had a teacher.
What?
My brother, we had a class, and my brother was the only person in class. He was the senior, only person there, because he knew that I was coming. Then Dow Taylor came in there loud, making all kind of noise, acting a fool. Him and the boy got to fighting in there.
What?
Yeah, they got to fight. Dow Taylor played two players, and all two players got fighting. So what? And I had a board doing the thing, a couple punishment. On that board, I called it Board of Education. I hauled them bent over, and I put that board on them.
What? No, man. This is
what? Put that board on. I told you, Taylor, look, dust is flying. Dow told me dust is still flying. So what happened?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Then the next couple of days, I found out Dow Taylor was a hell of a musician. I found he was our better student at school. He just got a little misunderstanding. Everybody straightened up when they finally had a real band director. They straightened up, and we had a hell of a band. It was a hell of a band. It was all concert stuff. We were playing some hell of a music. And I remember we integrated all city band. We first integrated that to rail in 1970. We put together an all-star band to play at the all-star game. They had all-star games for the Mississippi people. And I was the first black band record there. And I know I played this tune, Conduct Lift Up. Oh, we did Get Ready. We did Get Ready. Our range, Get Ready.
Where?
Get Ready. And what else? Oh, the horse.
Where?
That was in the 1970 at the high school honor band. We played all our marches. I remember we came to that band the first time we came with the Provide band room. We walk in there, there been the white folks in there. Then bring the kids walk in there, and the man passed all them marches. The white kids were blowing the hell out of it, and the black kids were too. There were different caliber musicians then. They were playing their tails off. And then that man, so I met that little guy named Higgins. Well, yeah, everybody know how to play now. You know, now y'all can play the dynamics. Everybody know everybody can play. That's get settled down, play the music right.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to close it out, but like I do want to go ahead and give you your flowers, because like we've been doing this for the past 18 months, and what's happened is a majority of people that we've interviewed like have been giving shout outs to you, been talking about how you've given life to them and how you have like given acceptance to this music thing that we do. And we didn't know that we were in this when we jumped into it, but you've always given us the permission to be accepted in it, but you've also given us the permission to be like great in it. And we appreciate all the stuff that you've given us in this industry. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know I was a leader until you told me that I was a leader. So like, I feel Terrell, Danielle, all are in the same boat, but like, it's so many more of us that feel the same thing. Like, we didn't know that we were powerful in our impact until you told us that we were. We appreciate you. We love you.
Thank you.
We thank you for all that you've done for us.
I can talk all day because I've been doing it 56 years.
I know it.
I can talk all day about band and other things too, other experiences. And but one thing I want to say too is you can't make a student do anything. Nope. They got to be in them. They got to have that desire to want to. You guys had it. Well, my job to get it out of you and let you know what you could do. And Toby, when you came from Brandon, I knew you represented the kind of percussion that we were looking for. A guy who really understood percussion. Of course, our boys understood. And Terrell, we knew you were under Mr. Mitchell. And Danielle, I remember when you first came to the band room, you and my drum major boy? Byron. came to off at the same time. Two little young, like 16, 17-year-old scared people. They know what they're getting into. Scared. But one thing they did, they came and joined the family.
Thank you, Doc.
And we had some good students because really, I got to the point, I didn't waste my time. We recruited good students. We started talking about academics. You root out a lot of these fools you picked up. And one thing I really didn't get, I want to get rid of hazing too.
You did. That had no
meaning in band.
It does not.
If they were doing something musical, it was different. If you had somebody playing in scale, somebody playing in music, or saying how many licks somebody could take, how many pushes somebody could do, that has no musical purpose. Like I was in band, came with a freshman. Hey, you could talk to us, you could talk stuff. I remember telling a senior that he was sorry.
There ain't no leader. Way, Doc. You know what? There was no way.
I told him, section leader.
I believe Doc was doing it.
Until it happened. I'm going to tell you the story, though. Y'all got to go. Look, we were playing this tune called This is Symphonic Band. Mm-hmm. We're doing a concert in Hattiesburg. And all black and Southern Miss guys came over. We're playing this game called tune called Rienza. And the first trumpet player had about 8 whole notes, B flat concert with a fermata over them. Tuning note, I'm not lying. He cracked every last one of them. That boy cracked every one of B flat concerts.
Every note.
We all ashamed. We got back on the bus. I said, man, you about one of the sorry singers I have ever seen.
I can hear that.
I'm talking to Joe, you're sorry. He wanted to jump on me. I mean, go sit down somewhere. Right. That's the problem. If I put something on you,
I would have sat down too. Doc, yeah, you got back on the bus. You big
guy. No, we're going to town. They're going to mess with me. I've been in jail and all that kind of junk. So then what happened? Monday came and band practice. Probably they turn around, Rienza. He brought the baton down. They got cracked that note. Pack. Bob Davis stopped. He stopped everything right then. He moved that sob on the first chair. Guy named Charles McGee. Every note. Boom. There they boom. Every note. Then after we left band practice, I said, man, you know what just happened, man? You got your head chopped on. Be like that, sir.
Doc, band can be brutal. Band can be brutal.
It's real brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, his problem was he was an excellent musician, but he had started gigging a lot. Staying out late at night.
That's different.
Hit them high notes, and his lips was going.
Yeah.
And he was a nice guy. I taught his son at Provan and at Kentucky State. His son, his father was deceased, and he wanted me to tell him stories about his father. He had his father trumpet.
Wow.
And I told him that story. He laughed too. But so I taught his son followed me from Provine to Kentucky State. So that was a wonderful experience. And so I want to put that one out there. Yes, sir.
Doc, do you know? Do you know? Hold on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Toby. Doc, do you know? Do you really, really know what it means to be a
legend? Speak up a little bit. I'm gonna have a little trouble getting you.
I'm sorry. Do you know what it means to be a legend?
Be what?
A legend.
Well, I have to understand what that's all about.
Okay, good. You are a legend. You're a legend. You know, like, so, you know, we like to give flowers. Yeah. Toby's already giving flowers. I got to give my flowers. I got to, like, because I know we got to go. We're running out of time. But, Doc, man, I can appreciate the stories that you tell us. I can appreciate the experiences that you've gone through, all of the stuff that you've gone through all the way back from the civil rights movement and before. And now all of that stuff connects some kind of way, shape, form, or fashion with different people that you've come across. You know, you think about all of the students that you've created, all of the band directors that you've created, all of the administrators that you've created, because there's a whole nother side. We really need another hour to talk about Dr. Legale that was not the musician, because there was a part of you that you did other things in education, or just, you know, being in the field, or you know, things that you did to promote self-worth, to promote
excellence.
Thank you, Toby. To promote just being a great human being and doing the right thing. But I didn't understand all of it when I was a 17.
You were just like a student.
You were a student.
Now you're an adult. You're a grown man, 20 years removed. If you don't understand it now, we're in trouble. But you know what I know is, hey, Terrell.
Yes, sir.
You're one of my favorites, too. All you guys were. I remember you. You had a lot of energy. You were very likable. You were a likable person.
Thank you
can say things and get away with it.
I did have a way of smoothing some stuff over. Yeah, I appreciate.
Yeah, you did.
I want to stop because I don't want to. Man, I literally.
Want to. I got so many. We got so many questions.
We're about to shut this down, but we want to talk to you some more.
Doc got to eat. Doc got to eat dinner. We can't.
Well, I will say this, man. I'll say this. Thank you for having this program. I know I could talk all day. Sometimes I get these different things, probably these different subjects running together. But I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Like you didn't know Dr. Magruder was one of my students. He kept that quiet.
He told us.
So yeah, I had a question about that. I got a question about Dr. Magruder.
Go ahead,
What was it in Dr. Magruder? Because Dr. Magruder got there in 93, right?
What?
Dr. Magruder got to Jackson State on the band staff in 93, right?
Yeah, he got, yes.
Dr. What Magruder. Made you pick, yeah,
let me tell you what made me pick Dr. Magruder.
Yeah.
Dr. Magruder, I know you guys got to go and put this down right now. I met Dr. Magruder in the 10th grade. He was a clarinet player. You do enough time, yeah, a lot of boy clarinet players then. And a little white boy played right to him, right next to him. And I played clarinet, of course, and I played every day. I would teach Magruder. And I remember he sort of slacked up practicing. I told my little boy, I'm going to get him. And he tightened up. And I remember Magruder told me, I'm going to beat you playing. He told me, D, I'm going to get you playing. But he was that good in the 10th grade. I'm not telling you no lie. The guy was, and he was a good person. And I knew his aunt. I went to school with his aunt. So I kept up with Magruder. I followed when we made the Lions band. And then he went to Jackson State. And we got his master's at LSU. I was following him. I followed his experience. I followed his what he was doing. Then when I got my lead, Kentucky State University. I was director of bands there and head of the division of fine arts. They told me they would not let me out of my contract unless I found a band director. And so I called Magruder. Somehow they didn't go through with it. And then we got so I kept him. I kept following him, what he was doing. He was a little nitpick. It was all good. Then I'm at Jackson State in 1992. Had a band staff. It was questionable about why Dial Taylor left. There were question marks there. I know nothing about none of that stuff. All I know was they offered me the job, and I really, they talked me into coming. They begged me, excuse the language, they did, to come to Jack State. And I told them, don't call my house anymore. I was assistant dean. Associate Professor of Music in the College of Arts and Sciences. They offered me Director of Academic Computing at A&T. My wife was Associate Professor of Business at A&T. She didn't want to go nowhere. My kids loved A&T. All right. So what happened was, there are guys calling me who I played in the band with. Then they got Lewis. Remember how you did the pro band? Man, you could do it. Swelling my head up, you know. You could do it. So then the lady called and told me, please come. Then Dr. Thomas called and told me, if you come, send your application overnight mail because tomorrow is the last day. So I finally did after about a month talking to me. So I came. It was the interview was Dr. Thomas, Dr. Branch, Jack Jones, a white guy who was he'd be a pro van, and Dr. Caston, those were the interview people, and they had interviewed 10 people, and then 2 weeks later they told me they want me to come take a job, and I told them I could not come without a contract, and so I came on July 22nd. And Paul Allen applied for the job. Duplessis applied for the job. Byron Gregg applied. Dope was assistant band staff. They told me I had one condition. They want me to keep the same band staff. So I said, okay. I said, I work with anybody. And there were some problems. There were some problems there. It had to be worked out.
We appreciate you for
the problem. Then what happened was, Paul Allen didn't write anything that first year. He didn't write one piece. He was very standoffish and resentful, in my opinion. He would talk about me and all kind of garbage. And he would tell everybody, man, you know what thing, Mr. Adams? I was born in Jackson, Mississippi. He was telling my cousins junk, garbage. He didn't get my kinfolk. Anyway, I worked with him. I'm going to tell this right now. Y'all can put it on there or not. Dr. Jane told me to get rid of Paul Adams. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm going to work with Paul Adams. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know him. I said, I'm going to work with him. And he said, good luck. I knew Mr. Duplessis. I met Mr. Duplessis. I was a high school band director. I went against him in high school. My band, Peter Gibbs, Mr. Duplessis.
What?
Mr. Duplessis was almost 20 years old, me though. But he knew. So anyway, Byron Gregory was a composer. He was a clarinet teacher. Make it real short. He had a tune. It was in February. And he had an orchestra in there playing the music. And Jack Jones would have nobody sit for the band. They told him, don't do sit for the band. Dr. Dale was going to do anything with that. So, nobody sit for the band, about four or five kids. So Jack Jones came to me and said, Lewis, he said, look, let's get rid of the Cardsucker Band and put everybody in San Fernando Band. He said, what I'll do is I want the band up with for you. He said, but what I'm going to do is at 4:20, I'm leaving. So what happened was he left. And then what happened, Byron Gregg was in there at 4:20, still directing an orchestra. Then the fight happened. Mr. Jack Jones told me to come in there, office. And what Byron Gregg had said was, he said, he asked him, why would he go over the time? He said, well, he ain't doing a damn thing anyway.
So Jack Jones, that's what he said.
No, that was Gregory said about me.
Oh, okay.
And Jack Jones wanted me to hear him. Came and told him what he said about me to his face. And then Byron Gregory said, "I ain't got a problem with Dr. Dell. I got a problem with you." That he told Jack Jones. And then Jack Jones said, "I got a problem with you too." Then Gregory hit Jack Jones upside the head, then officer in there, so hard that his skin cracked open. What? He came back with, he almost said he was a boxer. He was a boxing military. He came back with a left, other side. He beat Jack Jones falling forward. Jack Jones fell in that closet back there and hit the head and get the fire cabin. Greg was beating the daylights out of him. I tried to pull Greg off Jack Jones, like pulling a bull up. Then I got the band out of it. I told the band practice miss. I got the band out of there. So, and then they didn't see what was going on. And I got Paul out to come help me get that man off of Jack Jones. he was hitting him so hard. And Paul said, Byron. And when he was sitting in Jack Jones' chest, hitting like he would with a little boxing thing, bring back and forth. And I'm in that last lick of pow, right in the nose. And Jack Jones was on the floor out. Hey. He was looking for his glasses and stuff. It was bad. Blood, both eyes were burst. Both nostrils were bleeding. What? His bare skin was on the bleeding. Mouth, lip bleeding. Behind the head. We hit that fire cabin. It was my first year there. I said, damn. And Barry Gregory was puffing. He was puffing like a bull. He was puffing. And then, it was something else. And then Paul Adam got his shirt off and got the blood off Jack Jones. And it was something else. And then Paul Adam tried to get me not to report it.
Oh, yeah, we can't get in trouble. We can't get in trouble now.
I said, Paul, if there had been one lick, slap, something like that, I said, man, this man beat the hell out of this man. We got blood all over the floor. I said, if I don't report you, what happened to me? I've been fine. So I went to Jimmy James, told Jimmy James what happened. Jimmy James wrote a letter and suspended Byron Gregory. Wow. Then they had a hearing to suspend, to fire him. Mm-hmm. And they fired Byron Gregory.
Wow.
They fired Byron Gregory. And you know what I said? One down, two to go.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. That is where it ended. Doc, that was so one of the things that I can tell you that I love about you, Doc, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We got to get out of here.
Yeah. But then wrap it up. But what I did, the first thing came to my mind was Byron Gregory declared that teacher. Bingo, Magruder plays clarinet.
Oh.
I called him.
Oh, I get it.
I called Magruder at night. I told him there will be a fake at Jackson State.
And Dr. Magruder said he was like, somebody got into a fight. Somebody had gotten to it and something happened.
He knew the story. Uh-huh. He didn't want to say it.
Look, guys, I can talk all day.
He let you say it.
Doc, I appreciate you, Doc. God, that was amazing. We gotta wrap this up.
I love y'all. I love
y'all. Oh my God. So that's how Magruder got his spot.
And Magruder didn't tell anybody he knew me.
Ah!
They didn't know me and Magruder were just like two peas in a pot.
I love it.
Magruder, one thing where you can go, Magruder was really hooked up with me, and we brought that program forward. Magruder had written anything. Magruder came up 10 arrangements, and they put pressure on Paul Adam.
I remember that.
Paul Adam had to show him who won the ring arrangement?
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, so he started arranging right then. So you saying he ain't arranged the first year?
Yep.
Okay.
See that?
Doc, can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Magruder wasn't arranging.
That's crazy.
But all those guys were good. Magruder, all those guys had talent. Paul Allen was very talented. Madupa was very talented. Byron Gregor was too. And Bethel was. All of them some good super musicians.
A dream team. They were super dream team.
You know what we did though? We had some differences. When we hit that football field, it's a Sonny Boom of the South.
And when that thing
hit out there, it ain't no Liddell, ain't no Duplessis. It's a Sonic Boom. We worked together and put that. We took our talents. We have found. We gave everybody a job description. I found out what everybody wanted to do, everybody could do, and I gave them a description, and they did it. That's what talented people. Paul Allen was like a genius.
Mm-hmm. Oh, guys, that's what makes you a genius. That's what makes you a genius. What do you think about the current Sonic Boom itself?
Current Sonic Boom?
Yeah.
Every band had its day and time. The Sonic Boom is the Sonic Boom. They represent all that we have been. And they came along, and it's, you know, you could talk about this and talk about that philosophically, could talk about some things here and there. But the band is going, doing well, and I pray they continue to do well. And that one of my guys too, he won us, and we got to pray for him. He's doing a good job. Really, he stabilized the band staff. Because the band staff got shaken out there. He got shaken. Okay. He got shaken, and he brought them back together. You can say all you want to say. He brought them together. He gonna get better. As time go on, he gonna be the legend of legends.
Come on, you follow me
now? As years go on, he gonna be legend. You know, he look cocky. That's okay. But he was a young boy. When I came to Jackson State, how old I was 47 years old.
Wow.
I've been to hell and back. Wow. I've been assistant president, affirmative action officer. I've been head of a music department. All that kind of stuff. I've been around. So I had experience. Mm-hmm. And as time grows, you grow too. He's going to become grown in that position. He's going to come grown in that position. And I see you, Toby. I see that look on your face. Cut it out. It's all good. He's going to be a good band director. He's going to be a legend of legend in time.
He will.
What do you think about that statement?
I know it.
And thanks to Cortez, we finally got the Super Bowl. Should have been there 50 years ago.
Ah! Shout out Cortez. But
it's about contact.
Yeah.
Gremlin got that through football. Gremlin went to the first Super Bowl. Eddie Robson, his football team was incredible. He got there. But another thing, the Rose Bowl. Y'all would ask that question, didn't you?
Where we
Rose Bowl, who I'm like, you got who the first black dude to go to Rose Bowl?
We're gonna be there.
Was it I don't know. Was it North? It wasn't North Carolina A&T, was it?
Mississippi Valley State University in 1965.
No way.
Yeah, it's on my side. It was nothing, no joke. They were all core style. They were no joke. I'm telling you, and look here. During that time, we had segregation, Jim Crow, and all that stuff. When Valley State came on that TV, tears came to my eyes. I said, here these brothers from Mississippi, they were lynching black folk. But that boy came through there and performed. And guess what happened? That spring, that summer, Jackson State University went to the New York World's Fair to win on summer. And I was in that band. I was a sophomore.
Wow.
In that band. One hellacious band program. So I have talked to Valley State. But who goes to the Rose Bowl? How about leave it alone?
We're going to the Rose Bowl.
We're going to go.
God bless him, exactly.
We're going to all go together. You're going to go with us. We're going to hang out.
Y'all going?
We're going up.
I'm going to, hopefully, praying. No, I'm going to LA.
Good Lord, help us. Hallelujah. Doc.
But you know one thing, Tobin? It's hard There are a lot of boxers who were world champion, but there's only one Muhammad Ali.
Okay. Okay, the greatest. It's only one greatest.
Yeah. Y'all came along during the hellacious when y'all came in, the band program was hitting on all cylinders. Everybody was together. The band record was together.
We were in the band when, oh my God.
You are Ali, man.
When you and Dr. Magruder switched the program around in 2000, just the two of y'all.
Hey, Danielle, you got that right.
Yeah.
But they
y'all changed that program around.
I'm thinking Rankin, but the Duplessis is from Rankin County. Y'all our dream team, man.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Doc? Did you know that y'all were our dream team?
What?
So you, Miss Duplessis, Paul Adams, Mr. Magruder, and Mr. Bethea. Right before they were doctors and all that, y'all were our dream team. Y'all were the perfect staffers.
Hey, and that was a dream team. Mm-hmm. No joke.
Yep.
We fussed at each other, cussed each other, but when it came time to the band, we were about the business, better.
Mm-hmm. Always.
And then all them guys deserve everything you got. Them guys, hey, I can. Those guys had to do it. Look here, I'm gonna tell you here, let you guys go. Yeah. When Mr. Duplessis was there, I wrote one drill.
One drill.
All I had to do, but he was out.
He was a drill sergeant. That's who we knew him as. We knew him as.
When they left, then you got your band director. Magruder say, look, Dr. Liddell, we're Jacksonians. We own the whole band record left. He said, I'll write the music and you write the drill. We got to do it.
And
you know what? Our drills got better.
Legendary right there.
Come on, our drills got better.
But
that's legendary.
The leader
though.
That knows, I'm going to disperse this to this, and I'm going to disperse this to this. You that leader.
Yeah.
You the leader. Okay, guys, I know y'all got to go. My wife
got to. Love you.
Good chicken.
Yeah, she ready. I know it's time to go. All right, so this is what we're going to do. So we're going to end it. So Pom Pom back up. Doc. No. We out of here. Doc, we enjoyed you so very much. We appreciate you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this greatness.
Hey.
Thank you.
Sonic, boom. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you so much. We
appreciate
you.
I love you so much.
We got to log off.
Don't log off.
Hold on one second. So thank you all once again. Thank you all. This concludes our show. Thank you for tuning in to Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. This is Band Sessions with the Boom. It's your boy Terrell Key, a.k.a. T-Reezy.
And your girl Don Yale, a.k.a. Don Yeezy.
And Toby Johnson, a.k.a. Fury Styles.
Love the boom, and we had Dr. Lewis Liddell on. So we are out of here. We signing off. Thank you, Doc. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. Until next time, peace out.
Peace out.
Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club is presented by Bet Online.